Our scripture is found in Psalm 110, and we'll read 1 through 7. Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will shatter kings on the day of his wrath. He will execute judgment among the nations, filling them with corpses. He will shatter chiefs over the wide earth. He will drink from the brook by the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. May God bless the reading of his word. Now, very often we refer to Jesus Christ as the great high priest who offered himself up for our sins. Now, let me ask you a question. What does someone who knew a little bit about the Bible, some people have said that a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing, and we'll see the truth of that in just a little bit. But and they came up to you and said, "Jesus can't be a priest. He can't be a priest because he's descended from the kingly tribe of Judah and not from the priestly tribe of Levi." How would you answer them? Because technically, they would seem to have a point. The Old Testament law is very clear and very strict. When people who were not Levites tried to usurp the role of the priesthood, very often they met with stern judgment from God. You who know your Bibles, you might be thinking, remember Uzzah tried to steady the Ark of the Covenant? As soon as he touched it, he was struck down by God. Only the priestly Levites were to touch the Ark of the Covenant. So how could Jesus be the high priest if he wasn't descended from the priestly tribe of Levi? Today we're going to find out, as we learn of the person we first read about in Genesis 14, and I'll begin at verse 17 there. "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh," that is the king's valley, "after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And he gave him a tithe of all." Yes, Melchizedek is the key to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. His name is only used twice in the Old Testament, and yet he is a very significant figure in understanding the ministry of Jesus. Now, the other Old Testament passage he's mentioned in is the Messianic Psalm, Psalm 110:4. We just read, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Here we see a prophecy of the coming Messiah. Now remember, these words were written around 1,000 years before the coming of the Messiah. This Messiah would be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Here in Psalm 110:4, we have the very first clear indication that the priesthood of the Messiah would not follow the normal Levitical order. But it's in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, that we have a very clear explanation as to just how Jesus could be the high priest and not be a Levite. As a matter of fact, one might say that the theme of the book of Hebrews is Jesus Christ, our high priest. As we look at Hebrews 2:17, we read, "Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Then Hebrews 3:1, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ." Also Hebrews 4:14 and 15, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And then, of course, Hebrews 5, beginning at verse 1, "For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he's required, as for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifice for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he was called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' As he also says in another place, 'You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.'" Now, just for a stop of the progression here for a moment, I want us to think about the Old Testament believers, there was a certain mystery here as they're studying the Old Testament, and all of a sudden there's Melchizedek. And then later on in Psalm 110, there's Melchizedek. And there must have been some curiosity. Melchizedek, what? Who's Melchizedek? What is this all about? And how wonderful it must have been. I think about Jews who were serious, like the Apostle Paul, who was the Pharisee Saul, as God opened their eyes. And we're coming to a text now which explains it all. And that when they finally come to the New Testament and God, the Holy Spirit moves in them, and said, "We wondered, who is this Melchizedek? We wondered." Now we're coming to this chapter in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read the whole chapter because the question that I asked at the beginning of the sermon, it's all spelled out for us. And think how wonderful it must have been for those serious Jews who finally found out, and as we're going to read here, is finding out about Melchizedek. It's a wonderful chapter about our Lord Jesus, our high priest. Okay, let's start there. Hebrews 7. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem," of course, Salem, Shalom, peace, king of peace, "priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there's also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest who has come, not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness. For the law made nothing perfect, but on the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath. But he with an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. Praise God. That's all spelled out for us. Yes. that person that asked about said that Jesus can't be a high priest because he's not of the order of the Levites. There it is. Take them to Hebrews 7. Right there, brothers and sisters. There is an answer. In verses 1 through 10, Melchizedek is compared to Abraham. In verses 1 through 3, we see a basic explanation of Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Now, some people think Melchizedek was a supernatural manifestation of God or a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Still others think he was just a man who was specially called by God to be a true priest of God. They believe he was just a man, and the fact that he appears abruptly in the life of Abraham in Genesis and then disappears gives him a different type of priesthood than the Levites. Remember, there are genealogies throughout the Bible to make the point of the relationship going all the way back, Abraham and Isaac and Israel. But there's no genealogy for Melchizedek. Then in verses 4 through 10, we see something amazing. Remember that in Jewish eyes, Abraham and Moses were the greatest. And here in these verses, they are told that Melchizedek is superior to Abraham. He paid tithes to Melchizedek. And there's a sense, as it says there, it's not me, it's inspired scripture. In a sense, the Levites paid tithes to Melchizedek. And then in verses 11 through 19, Melchizedek is compared to the Levitical order of the priesthood. In verses 11 through 14, we're told Melchizedek, the Melchizedek order supersedes the Levitical order. The Levitical rituals and sacrifices ultimately cannot satisfy the law or really truly take away sin. Remember, Hebrews 10 will tell us, and we go further in Hebrew, that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. Only the blood of Christ, the high priest, who's of the order of Melchizedek, the perfect one. But Jesus, who is the high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, this is described in Hebrews 10, and I'll begin at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's you, brothers and sisters. One offering, Jesus. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we don't repeat his death, as some false churches might say. We remember his once for all sacrifice. So, Jesus is the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Yes, the New Testament explains and clarifies the Old Testament. As the end of verse 28 says, that he is made perfect forever by God's grace, are true believers perfect forever through his perfect sacrifice. As I think about Jesus and speaks of him interceding for us, I think by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's a sense in which Jesus just needs to appear there. We haven't seen him. One day we'll see him and we'll bow down and worship him forever. But that his presence, it's as talks about Satan accusing, trying to accuse. No. And Jesus stands there. And he doesn't have to say a word. Basically, it's the Spirit. I died for that one and that one and that. All of us, brothers and sisters. That one sacrifice. He intercedes just with his presence. He is God in the flesh. Now, if you're an unbeliever tonight, I don't know your spiritual condition, but you've heard the gospel about Jesus Christ coming to save sinners. Scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And God is reaching out to you. If you don't know him, you know a lot of facts about him. That's one thing, but to know that you're a sinner and you need a Savior. That God didn't send another philosopher. He was a teacher. He was all these things, but the most important thing is he was sent a Savior to save us from our sins. May God have mercy on you and give you the grace to believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your great love. We thank you for your word, how clear it is. As we compare scripture with scripture, all our questions are answered. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that even now as we pray, you stand there in heaven as our intercessor, just with your presence. We know we're saved. Your word is clear. Nothing and no one can separate us from your love. Once our sins are washed away through your suffering and death, they're washed away forever, and that's that. Thank you, Lord, for that comfort. Our greatest problem is solved forever. If anyone came in this night not really knowing you as Savior and Lord, have mercy upon them. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear, that they truly may come to know you as Savior and Lord. And we pray that you'd come soon, Lord Jesus, and pray in your precious name. Amen.